God wants to hear you sing. Amen. That's the title. God wants to hear you sing. Tell someone beside you, God wants to hear you sing. In some people's voice, you feel God does not want to hear it. I remember when I was younger, in children choir, we know the people that will die in the choir. We know the people that will join the choir. There's some people, by the way, I was in the children choir, and I even led the children choir for years, for about 4 years. Then I led the teenagers choir, led the youth choir. Yeah, I'm a singer. So God wants to hear you sing. There's some people's voice, you feel, nah, God doesn't want to hear this one. But God wants to hear you sing. Matthew Gospel 28, verse 18. So the pastor, when will you look for another place? I don't know yet. And Jesus came and spoke unto them. Don't forget, we said, what he said here, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. We said, is a summative writing by Matthew. Right? A summative writing of Jesus' post-resurrection teaching, which you can call the Spirit of Truth. Right? So the Spirit of Truth is now making known to them the things Jesus said they could not bear. And one of such is, all power is given, which is the word authority, exousia in the Greek, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. All authority is given in heaven and in the earth. Heaven and earth, a phrase you will find on the first verse of the Bible. And we have explained, I think we have done justice to that this year a bit. Even though I have more work to do on that next year. We said, heaven and earth. You need to look at that phrase well and not just assume that heaven is somewhere in the sky where you see angels and we eat manna. What else? And we sing hymns. Some months ago I was on social media and someone said, heaven will be boring now, that he was talking to his friend. He said, let's go to hell. That in hell you see all these foreign musicians. That they'll be doing party every day. That they'll be giving away. That in hell we'll just be eating manna and be singing psalms. Which one would you prefer? You know, and so people have a false imagination about what heaven is. And if you look at the Bible terminology and the way the scriptures are written, you understand that heaven doesn't necessarily refer to a place. Now, in Genesis 1, you see in the beginning, verse 1, God created the heaven and the earth. And it's funny because many people still assume that this is the creation story. But I think that's a wrong assumption. I think that's a stupid assumption. Because someone tells you he creates the heaven and the earth and it starts with the earth. That is without form. He already tells you that the earth was without form. So how do you want to start creating the earth and you start with an already existing earth? Hallelujah. Is that not already contradicting itself? Huh? Come on. You start with, there is water. He said the Spirit of God moved by the face of the water. So there is already water. Which earth are you now creating? So Genesis 1 is not a creation story. The book of Genesis was written in a pre-science era. And so you don't expect it to be validating science. Don't forget, I have told you oftentimes, which we still looked at in the recent teaching of Ephesians, that Moses is not an historian. And when you find a prophet, Nabiya, is called a prophet because of what? He has to what? Speak by inspiration. What is he going to speak by inspiration? What God will do. What God will do in his son, what God will do for Israel, which is his son. You know, so again, a prophet is so called because they speak by inspiration to convert people to Christ. They are not going to come and validate science or validate history. No, he's not an anthropologist, he's not an archaeologist, he is a prophet of God. And so if a prophet of God comes to you and says, God made an heaven and earth in one place, which you have explained that beginning of Genesis is who? He's the firstborn of creation. Have you? The Reshit. That's the Hebrew word beginning. R-E-S-H-I-Y-T-H. R-E-S-H-I-Y-T-H. Again, that word reshit, which we saw that it means first fruits. Abi, your firstborn, that Jacob called Reuben. He said, Reuben, you are my beginning. You are my firstborn. You are my firstborn, my beginning. And we saw that the predominant use of that word beginning in Genesis and in what we call the Old Testament, which is, of course, you understand what I mean. There's nothing called Old Testament. Hallelujah. You don't call Genesis, Malachi, Old Testament, and call Matthew, Revelation, New Testament. That's a modern segregation. That's poor. Again, Genesis is pure New Testament. But let me talk like all these social media people. But we are not ready for that conversation. Have I said that when people say that stuff, they feel they are smart? Yeah? And we are not ready for that conversation. Oh, that you are still stupid, Joe. But we are not ready for that conversation yet. That doesn't make you smart. The fact that you say something that is unpopular. Alright, so again, when you say in the beginning, we saw that in the predominant use of that word in Genesis to Malachi, that word beginning is not for time. It is primarily used for what? A tangible noun, right? First fruit. The fruit that bears the sample of others. The one that is the example of every other one. Now, the idea of first fruit is you plant something, and then when it's time for the harvest, you look for the first and the best. That was what Abel offered. The fattest of the rams. That is the first fruit. As I explain now. So, we are in a world where most people are not farmers. So you might not understand. But the illustration can suffice now. You know, but you understand farming, sir. You have different agriculture. Eh? So when you plant something, the harvest, the best of it is called the first fruit. This is the one you now use for sacrifices in Leviticus. So use the first fruit as an offering, as a sacrifice. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Again, we saw all of that when we were looking at the book of Ephesians. So, again, when you say in the beginning, that beginning is the Christ. He is the first fruit. He is the first fruit. So in that first fruit, what you will find is heaven and earth. Again, Moses opens up the account of the Bible with God's plan. God's plan is that you will find heaven and earth in Christ. God's plan is that you will find God and man in the same place. Which is what Ephesians 1:10 eventually said, right? That when in the dispensation of time comes, that you might gather in him all things, right? The things that are in heaven and in the earth. Ephesians 1:10. In the fullness of time, God will gather in Christ. Heaven and earth. John will say, by him all things consist. So, what you call heaven and earth, which is God and man in the same place, which is the thought of Moses' temple, Abi, right? We said that Moses' temple was geared at what? Heaven and earth. Where you will find God and also find man. A place where you find God, Yahweh, Elohim, omnipotent, omnirenent, Abi, what do you say? And then when you find God, you also find man in the same building. That is heaven and earth. So stop having a thinking that heaven is where you have streets of gold and you have waters that are as clear as crystal, as clear as glass. What else? Everybody has had one thought about heaven or the other. Yeah? Throw your own at me. Eh? Different rivers. Eh? Streets of gold. Where you gonna play ball? Eh? Which other? What's your own thoughts? Everywhere is quiet. You like quiet. Everywhere is white. Like toilet. Which other one? You know, growing up, at the point I felt, everyone is going to be boring. Don't let me, there's no border. Can we just have an intermediate? Something, a bit of mix of air. We just have somewhere where we just be saying, holy, 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 holy. With agony of eternity. Holy, holy, holy.
when we go chop, let's more chop. And so we have a false imagination of heaven. And even that song, that thing we sang, long when you go to on earth or else in heaven, ah, Pastor wants us to die. Nah. When you say on earth, I'm thinking you should know by now that that means in the natural. Things you just do in the natural. And when you say heaven, that is the experience we have in the new creation. Does it make sense? So earth will refer to what belongs to man. The natural. Heaven will be what God is doing. So they are not exclusive of each other. It doesn't mean that when you have earth, you can't have heaven. No. You can have heaven and earth in the same place like we have this morning. Amen. So Jesus says, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And that's why words ought to be explained. Words ought to be explained. I think as I'm growing older, I'm learning to keep repeating words and keep explaining them. Who would have thought, you know, during the retreat I had to explain our daily bread. I mean, you know, how many times have you prayed that prayer? Or have you even heard it? Or have you said it in primary school? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I can expect you, I gave you. Father, this bread no be I gave you. Give us this day our daily bread. And a lot of people have thought, oh, that means it's going to provide for us. But that's not it. Again, we were able to teach that the daily bread of God was what? Forgiveness of sin. In fact, Solomon, by the Spirit, wrote to Israel in Proverbs, and in Proverbs 30, and he said, give us sufficient bread. What is sufficient bread? You are going to wipe away our vanities. I've explained all of that. You are going to cleanse away our vanities and our lying tongue. That's our sufficient bread. And so Jesus is going to explain in John 6, when he gave them bread and Titus. And they said, give us evermore. Evermore give us this bread. If you are doing what you say to, evermore. That's the name of your brand now. Evermore give us this bread. And Jesus says, you don't need this one. There is the true bread that comes from the Father. That's not a person, though. Jesus is not the bread. There is the true bread that comes from the Father. That when you take it, you are not going to hunger anymore. It's going to satisfy the age-long need of man, which is forgiveness. That is the age-long need of man from Genesis. When you take this bread, that is the true bread. And that's why in that prayer, immediately he said, give us this day our daily bread. The next thing is, forgive our trespasses. And so words need to be explained. And that's why we are in church. So church is not a place where we just come and no, that's good. I love to dance. Not much though. I like to sing very well. I love the dance and everything. But you see, when you come to church, the primary thing that should be in your head, I want to know Christ. You see that dance, you can go turn up the volume in your room when you get home. Play Frank Edwards, play anybody, and start dancing. Your dance does not edify anybody here. Amen. What we need to come to in church, we already have few hours in the week to learn God's word. We meet in the midweek service, and we meet on Sunday. That's all. Probably your cell meeting. Yet we are exposed to the world every other day. And so if we have few hours to gather to learn God's word, we had better make the better use of it. And that's why you are looking for daily bread about. Words need to be explained. Yesterday I was explaining to someone the law. Because the funny thing is that when we hear the law, I think I explained in one teaching, the book of John. When we were studying the book of John, right? We explained the law was given by Moses, right? But grace and truth. Because the funny thing is that a lot of people, when you just hear law, you feel it's talking about regulations, it's talking about Moses' ordinances, right? Oh, Moses gave them the law. Law! We are not under the law! But you have forgotten that the Bible also calls the entire Genesis to Malachi the law. So when you hear the word law, you can't just say, I'm not under the law. You must ask, what law? Words derive their meanings from the usage. Words don't have blank meanings. I've told you, when you're reading the Bible, when you see a word, you must take the meaning from the context. You must take the meaning from the context. You can't just say, law. Oh, I'm not under the law. When it says, the law was given by Moses, He's talking about Genesis to Deuteronomy. The law that was given by Moses is what showed us that grace and truth came by Christ. They are not exclusive of each other. No, Moses explained Christ. And that's why in John 5, Jesus said, if you have believed Moses, you would have what?
Believed me.
For he what? For he wrote of me. That is the law was given by Moses. Don't forget Romans 8:1. He says, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of liberty has made them free from the law of sin and death. So, there's also the law of liberty. There's the law of faith. So you can't just say, I'm not under the law. What needs to be what? Explained. And that's why we have to take our time to look at heaven. Heaven. Heaven is what God is doing. The moment you understand that and you are not looking for the sky, then your Bible knowledge is improving. That's the reason why some people say, and a voice came from heaven, say, this is my beloved son. And you know that voice from heaven will probably be among them in Jordan. A voice came from heaven, so you're expecting loud speaker. Have you ever heard before? There's something from the sky. Except it's a helicopter. This is my beloved son. Oh, yeah, you know. Chetibo. Nah. The voice from heaven means that this is not a natural statement. This utterance is supernatural. And that is the way the Bible writes it. Because you have very limitation in language. You have a very huge limitation in language. So heaven doesn't mean, oh, sky, or one body, one place. One scientist, I think he traveled into space. And after some days he said, he has not seen God though. He said, I'm still here, I've not seen God. someone wrote on that, he commented, something like, remove the oxygen mask, let me see something. He said, you will see him. Remove the oxygen mask, then you will see him. So, a voice from heaven. In Acts 13, when Paul was sent out by the church, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me. Sorry, the Holy Ghost there, is it a bird or people? Separated Paul and Barnabas to go on mission. People. It was in a meeting, and then the church elder said, Paul and Barnabas, we now ordain you to go into Antioch to preach. And the Bible wrote it as the Holy Ghost said. So if we gather here today, and then we begin to minister to one another by tongues and interpretation, and we begin to flow in the things of the Spirit, and I by the Spirit, or you by the Spirit, tell me something, I can properly document that and say, that's a voice from heaven. I can say, the Holy Ghost told me, and you are the one that told me. So you must not see heaven as a place outside the earth. In fact, that is the reason why God came. That is the reason why he took on the form of man, so that we can have God and man in the same temple. So, Jesus, upon the resurrection, he said, don't forget what we are teaching. God wants to hear you sing. Hallelujah. Jesus upon the resurrection says, what we now have, by the reason of my resurrection, what we have is heaven and earth. Say heaven and earth. So what I have, by the reason of the resurrection, is heaven and earth. We have the authority of heaven and earth. Then it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What are you going to teach all nations? You are going to teach them the authority of heaven and earth. Go and teach all nations. And that means that your gospel is not situational. Your gospel is not geographical. You know, there's geographical gospel. The way you preach a gospel in Ghana, you can't preach it in Canada. Imagine going to Canada and you are saying, I am praying for you. All the enemies of your father's house. And they're going to look at you. I've got no enemies in my father's house. You don't know them. You don't know them. Your stepmother said, I don't have a stepmom. Doctor did that rule. So I don't have a stepmom. Imagine, a pastor went to Canada and he was praying, he said, every of your student loan, they will be supernaturally cancelled. He was a Nigerian church. So, a Nigerian brought his fiance, the boy, he brought a lady, fiance, okay. So brought her to church. That one is white. She's Canadian. Then she told the fiance that that's wrong. God should not do that. Why is the pastor saying God should? And all the Indians say, "Hey, man, what?" This is the reason why the country is like this. You want God to financially cancel your loan. The lady said, that's wrong. God should not do that. People have to pay back their loans. That's a situational gospel. A gospel that sells in Makoko that does not sell in Banana Islands. Imagine going to the United States and you are praying. You say, your factory. God will touch the heart of Nepal. They will be giving you light. What's that? With light. The sun? Because they don't see what you call electrical power as light. You are in his ear that this is let there be light. So he says you are going to teach all nations. So that means your gospel does not appeal, is not biased. It's not a gospel you preach in America that cannot be preached in Ghana. The gospel is one. I told you, till today we still have that touch of gospel. You have people speak to their offering. Say, now talk to your offering. That is African traditionalism. Where you have to talk to your offering. That is you just replacing Ifa with Jesus. Substitution. Like for like. What are you talking to your offering? All my problems. As I am giving this one. Every problem in my life. Follow the pastor. That is the pastor to your offering. Not the church of. Amen. Situational gospel. Even songs, I've said it over and over again. Songs that we sing sometimes. Let me touch your best song. I'm not saying you don't have power. But you see that Oshubarema, that even that sign alone, if you do it in some places, they will look at you and say, Omu Agba, yeah? And you don't know that you're Omu Agba. You know what Omu Agba means? You are one of the initiated. Something like that. In church. Something that if our priests do for each other. And they will tell you, I won't. This is exactly it. And you, at the pastor, at the clergy, lighting, everybody just being like foolish people. At the count, the compa. Where? Olu compa. Take Olu Epa. Have an example. First fruit. Why can't we sing by the Spirit and have new songs? Why do we have to refurbish old Onrumila songs? That is an eulogy for Onrumila, and every Onrumila fan knows it. Paul did not do all of those things. He says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the point he said, the Father of glory, is that not enough for you? Until you dig on the copper, then you age it with your gongo. There are some instruments that aid flesh. So, you are going to teach what again? You are going to teach verse 18. Yeah? You are going to teach heaven and earth in the resurrection. And you are not going to have a bias in any nation. You are going to teach all nations. Then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I've just allowed that. I've been allowing it. Teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So it says, I am with you. It says, go and teach them the things I have commanded you. But one of the words he used said to observe. Tereo. T-E-R-E-O. To observe. Which means to put your eyes on something. As though it's going to get lost. To put your eyes on something. As though it's about to get lost. So it says, what you are going to do is to observe. Teach them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And so that means we have some learning to do. The word teaching there is the word didasko. D-I-D-A-S-K-O. Which has its root in education. Or education, like they say. It has its root in education. So, that means church is for education. For learning. Christ says, you are going to teach them to put their eyes on something. And I've told you, I said that means that the life of Christ and the teaching of Christ becomes the tool for discipleship. He says, go and make disciples of every nation, verse 19, then teach them what I have taught. So the life and the practice, the teaching of Christ, becomes the tool for discipleship. And one of the things Christ did, very close to when he was betrayed, was that he sang. So we are looking at how he's singing heaven and earth. Don't forget what we're looking at. God wants to hear you sing, right? Is that what I call this? Jesus sang in Mark 14. Mark chapter 14. Are you learning something? Don't forget where we're coming from. Heaven and earth. What God is doing in man. He says you go and teach that. In Mark chapter 14, verse 22. As they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed, and broke it and gave to them, and said, take, this is my body. Again, this one too. Explanation. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, and he drank all of it. Or they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is the blood, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine, until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. When they had sung an hymn. So songs are part of the Christian faith. Songs are part of the Christian faith. In fact, everywhere in the world, songs are very key to how you pass information. I know that if you teach in primary school, you will know this very well. That if you want something to stick to kids, if you want them to remember, you teach them in a song. Abi? H-I-P, something like that. So you teach them in a song. And some of you still sing that song when you want to spell hippopotamus today. Spell hippopotamus! But because you're an adult, you can't be singing. H-I-P. P-O-P-O. Because when they hear you spell like gossip, for don't know, say, T-A-M-U-S. I say, how many days? So how many days do you have in this month? Say, what month are we? October. April, June. 31. You say, oh, that rest of 31. You know, so songs, and God, even God did that actually. In Deuteronomy 31, well, after Moses had given them all the commandments and everything, and they were about entering the land, God told Moses, he said, teach them in a song. You can just read that later. He said, teach them in a song. They will forget this people. Let them be singing it. And so songs are part of our Christian faith. So people use it to mark territories. When you get some places, you hear in the anthem. Ba, 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 ba. You know you are in the Nigerian territory. Right? Right? So songs are vital. They are emotional. They can help us remember. They can be doctrinal yet devotional. And the first song in the Bible would be Moses, of course. In Exodus 15, you learning something? Exodus 15, this was after the Exodus. The Red Sea parted, children of God on the other side, undefeated. And Moses, verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. They spoke saying, Exodus 15 verse 1, I'll wait for you. So like I said, Pharaoh drowned, he and his disciples. Then Moses sang this song unto the Lord, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed victoriously. The horse and his rider, as he thrown into the sea, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation. That's my body. My father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariot and his host, he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains
also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of your excellency, he has overthrown them that rose up against thee. O thou sent forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of the nostrils of the waters were gathered together. The floor stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. Is it not David? The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lord shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea cover them. They sank as lead in mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? The only one you are dead is hallelujah. Thou stretch out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in your mercy has led forth the people, which you have redeemed. Key word there. You have redeemed. Thou hast guided them into the strength, into your holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of your arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till thy people pass over, which you have purchased. Let's stop there. Then later you find in verse 20, Miriam now sang her own, which is also a very beautiful song. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So Moses, upon the Exodus, now sang. And I've told you that in Bible study, when you look at the study of the first things, that's called what? Protology. Right. Good. Which is very vital in every Bible study. You look at the study of the first things. Protology. And in protology, we have seen the first song. Scholar said the first song is by Jabu, the son of Lamech. Oh, we didn't see the song. And who is he, by the way? So, we go with Moses. Amen? And we see that this first song is a song of redemption. It's a song that says what God has done. It's not just any kind of song. It tells us what God has done. And so that means this is very theological. Every of our song ought to be patterned after the first. So we can call this one the beginning of songs or the first fruit of songs. It's a new song. I told you before, what teacher was that? In this ministry, I mean. Yeah? Where I said, when you say new song, many people think when you say new song, it's not about tongues. When you're singing in tongues, no. New song is to sing about what God has done. A new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song. That is, sing unto Him what He has done. Look at Psalm 96. We're going to do a lot of practice in this morning. Amen. We're going to sing. We're going to have psalms. Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen. His wonders among the people. So, again, a new song is to declare His glory. It's to declare what He has done. Psalm 68. So, we have to sing about what God has done. A new song is not a... In the open doors, amen. My anger be a boss. That's my new song. It's about what He has done. Psalm 68. Amen, 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 amen. Like an agbero. Psalm 68, please. Verse 6. You are familiar with this one. Want to go? God set the solitary in families. He brings out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious den is dry land. Some other version has said, He set for those who are in prison with singing. What is that in version? He set them out with singing. That's your version, right? Because that's the root word. He set them loose with singing. Again, that's what He has done. That's the new creation, right? That's redemption story. He has redeemed us, put the solitary in family, the lonely in families, and He set forth us with singing. Psalm 89.
Psalm 89. Verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make it known. Your faithfulness to all generations. You know that song now? It's a song. This one is a song. Alright. So again, I will sing of your faithfulness. You know what this faithfulness is? His faithfulness is promise and the fulfillment of it. Promised Moses, Israel will be delivered from that land of bondage. And then he did it. Right? That's his faithfulness. Abi? Abi? Good. Psalm 105. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms. Talk of his wondrous works. Psalm 105 verse 2. Sing psalms. Talk of his wondrous works. Sing psalms. Talk of his wondrous works. You ought to just sing about what he has done. See what Moses wrote. What did God just do? The horse and the rider, that's the enemy. Gone. But the sea has overthrown them. And that's the way to sing of God's goodness. And so in Psalm 105, verse 2, sing unto him psalms. Talk of his wondrous works. This was what I asked you to act upon. Talk about what his wondrous works. Talk about how he heals the sick. Talk about how he raises the dead. Talk about how he set, he takes a beggar and puts him among the prince, right? Right? Is that salvation? Yes. Again, talk about his wondrous works. Psalm 132, verse 9. Let thy priests be clothed in righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. Some versions have it, let your saints sing. Who has that in the version? Let them sing. Okay? I actually have it in one of the versions. Yeah, let them sing, let them shout for joy. Again, the root word of that shout is to sing. Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name. I am the Lord, that is your name. And my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise be given to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Don't forget, a new song is what? To sing about what he has done. Thank you. Sing unto the Lord a new song. What he has done in the redemption in Christ. And sing his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea. All that is in there in the isle. And the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the city lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar does inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord. Declare his praise in the highlands. Amen. Amen. So again, in the new creation, we will sing. Say we will sing. You know, God himself is a singing spirit. God sings. God sings. In Zephaniah chapter 3, I ask you to practice so that when we start singing, some people will not be looking lost. At least now you have a foretaste of what we are going to do this morning. So when we start singing, and we are singing in other tongues, and we are blessing the name of the Lord, and everyone has a sound, like Paul said, when you are gathered, you will not be looking lost. So now we have given foretaste. Amen. In Zephaniah 3. Zeph, not Zek. You there? Can we read verse 14 to 17 together? Shout, O Israel. He will what? He will joy over you with singing. Interesting. So he says, why did you say you should sing? Because the Lord has done what? Context. Come on. Are you not there? The Lord has done what? Oh, sing, daughter of Zion, shout Israel, be glad, rejoice with all the earth, O Joseph. Because the Lord has taken away your judgment. Amen. Amen. Come on, because the Lord has taken away my judgment. Amen. You know, he has cast out your enemy. Or the enemy. He's only one person.
He delivered me from my enemies. You don't have many enemies. Amen.
Just one. Just one. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Amen. Amen. In that day shall be set Jerusalem. Fear not. Unto Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord is in the midst of you, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with singing, with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. Amen. So the Lord actually sings. The King of Israel, even the Lord, he rejoices with singing. So when we see the Lord take away judgments, when we see the enemy judged, destroyed, cast out, when we see healing, when we see salvation, then we know that it's time to sing. It's time to sing. And that's why you should watch the kind of songs you sing. Because the truth is, nothing is neutral. Nothing is neutral. Now imagine hearing all you will listen to is, I told you there's no gospel music, right? We can only have songs that talk about what God has done, right? But I'm not saying that's what all you will listen to. But if it's possible, please do. I listened to some other songs too. You are my place yesterday. And you hear some songs that I listen to, some soulful music. Just me. You know. But be careful with the kind of song. You can't hear me play, some ladies, you are playing, somebody's song will find. That's in your playlist. Somebody's song. You are now surprised why hoodlums are approaching you. Is it not someone's song? See, you got it. Are you not the one that said somebody's song will find you? You must know who you are. You must know the kind of songs you sing. Now I'm not saying all the songs I listen to are Dom Wayne and New Song and Glorious House Church. No. But they are carefully selected. And I can tell you that one would be. Carefully selected. Because like I told you, there is nothing in this world that is neutral. So you must watch out for influences. Alright? That's just by the way. So Paul tells us the kind of songs we should sing. How do you sing? Colossians 3. Tells us the kind of songs we should sing. Colossians 3. Verse 16. Let the utterance, that word there, let the word is actually utterance. Let the utterance of Christ, let it dwell richly in you in all wisdom. So I think you should tell your neighbor that one. Let the utterance of Christ dwell richly in you. Alright, then it tells you how. It says you can now teach and admonish one another. In psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. The word admonish is the word nouthetio. N-O-U-T-H-E-T-E-O. N-O-U, admonish. N-O-U-T-H-E-T-E-O. Eight times in New Testament Greek. It means to put in mind, to caution, a gentle reproof, to reprove someone gently. Admonish one another, that is, caution one another. Reprove gently one another, put in your minds. How are you going to do it? You are going to do it with psalms. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Then it tells you how to do it. Singing with grace. Singing with grace in your heart. Don't forget what grace is. What is grace? What God has done. Everything God has done from the incarnation till today in us is called the grace of God. What God has done from the incarnation till now in us is the grace of God. And that says you are going to sing with that in your heart. You are going to sing with grace in your heart. Hallelujah. You are going to sing with grace in your heart. Another place Paul says, you are going to make melodies. Sometimes melodies are supernatural too. And you just go, you know, I caught myself a few times last 6 months, and even during the pandemic, when there was still pandemic though, during the lockdown, the huge one, and you know, there was so much news everywhere. It was so overwhelming. And I caught myself just making melodies a lot of times. Then I just go, I don't know, why am I singing? There's no song. I'm just making melodies. What are you doing? And then you add songs to the melody. You add words to it. And then you bring forth. What have you done? You have brought heaven and earth in the same place. So you have brought what God is saying and what man can tune in one. And so the melody, which is earthly, and the words, the utterance, which is heavenly, have come to be heaven and earth. So heaven and earth will be man's melody and God's utterance. Amen. Amen. Are you singing with grace in your heart? So when we sing, it means we are obeying scriptures. When we sing, it means we are obeying scriptures. Those who don't sing, they are not obedient. Did he say, sing if you have the voice? Come on. Did he say, sing if you have the voice? Oh, sing if you are in the music team. Huh? Sing if you are brother faith. No. Sing everyone. Let every one of you teach and admonish one another. He's talking to the church in Colossae. And he says, everyone can sing. Bim, bim. Everyone can sing. Did you sing when you were gathered the other time? Huh? Everyone can sing. You know, sometimes you don't have the words yet. Just go. You're singing in tongues. What are you doing? I'm singing. What are you singing? You're singing in tongues. What are you now saying? Give me a minute. Amen. Amen. Give me a minute. I'll tell you what I'm saying. The times when I recall there was a time I was in, was it 300 or 400? Level in the university, and I was traveling to Ibadan. And that journey, I knew that journey was not safe. As soon as I got to the bus station, I knew that that journey was not safe. You know when they say safe journey? I knew that that one was not. But I did not turn back intentionally. Naturally, I would have been cleansed and I would turn back. And I've done that like twice. And you know about it. But this particular one, I said I'm going to go. But what did I just do? I just started singing. And the person I was sitting beside me in the front of the bus, you know all these bad buses, you see tutu. And the lady was looking at me. And in the front of the bus, she didn't even know why they sing. I just went, and I started singing in Psalms. I said, nothing. I'm protected, I'm preserved. If I still remember the song, I'm preserved, I'm protected. I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. That was the psalm. And I kept singing it. And you're looking at me, Woluma. I'm protecting all of us here. You know, I kept singing and then singing. So we got to somewhere around, we have even got to Ibadan, around the quarry site. And the driver said, he said, Egadua, you know this Ibadan people. Yeah, Egadua, break your mumma. I knew what was going on. They break a mumma. I know this, December Lawa. So if you are in February, we should have died. If you are in December Lawa. So if it's March, we should have allowed the break fail. Hey, homo, oluwa. And people are shouting. And I just got back to the song. And I kept singing it. And the driver was sweating. And only G, yeah, ah. But I knew nothing was going to happen. At least I'm here. Amen. Sometimes you can take authority by singing. You can take authority. Look at Ephesians 5. And we are preserved for more days. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 5. Verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be full of the Holy Ghost. And he tells you how to be full of the Holy Ghost in verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. So you can be making melody in your heart. You You're just making melody in your heart. You're just making melody. He said, don't hear, that's how you are full of the Holy Ghost. You are speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. You are making melody in your heart, in your heart, giving thanks always unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So we can sing and make melodies. Amen. You are in bedroom and you're just, rather than put some songs that are not edifying, that will not add any ounce of goodness to your life, why not just sing songs? Why not just sing your own songs? Amen. The new creation is a singing spirit. It rejoices over you with singing. And it tells you to do the same. It says shout for joy. It says sing. It says make melodies. So I can sing by the Spirit. I have new songs by the Spirit. Amen. I have songs that can build up by the Spirit. In the coming year, I have hundreds of psalms. Amen. Sing. One of the instructions we got during the retreat was that we should what? Laugh. Right? In the coming year, you must learn to laugh. You laugh well. Why are you laughing? Do your laugh. Let nothing hold you bound. You are a child of God. Learn to just laugh. Don't say, what's making you laugh? I don't know. What's making you cry? Say, is the situation that's making me cry? Is the situation that's making me laugh? Say, well, the situation is bad now. That's why I'm laughing. Hallelujah. You know, people gather to cry. And they gather, they give intimidation cards. And all they come, what the Lord. They gather to cry. We are turning the tables around. In the coming year, there will be much laughter. In the name of Jesus. There will be much singing. In the name of Jesus. You will sing, your disciples will sing. What you will find in your ministries will be singing. You know, learn to sing. Just, you know, say singing with grace in your heart. And I say, make melodies. I like that song. Autumn, spring. I like the melody. You eat lottery. Do you have to win anything? I mean, you are saved forever. That's one. That's primary. That's there. Amen. You have an advantage. You are a child of God. That's an advantage. So why shouldn't you sing? Why should you cry instead? We didn't see any place in the scripture that says God cried. He laughed. He sang. And he wants to hear you sing. Amen. Amen. In James, look at what James said in James 5. As we start getting ready to sing. In James 5, and you know, James is his authority. So when James is talking, you listen. Verse 13. James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him what? Let him what? Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. If you are happy, he says, what you should be doing is what? He's singing psalms. Don't go and buy champagne. Don't go and buy wine and be doing Damola style. Why did you look at me? That's why I mentioned your name. Don't do Dorime. Is anyone merry? He said, let him sing psalms. So our response when we are happy, is we sing psalms. Amen. 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 Our response when we are glad, when we are joyous, is to sing psalms. Don't say, okay, so what of when we are not happy? Acts 16. What of when we are in some situations that, you know, Acts 16, verse 23. So James says, the way you pray when you are afflicted is the way you sing when you are happy. Amen. A lot of Christians don't know how to sing. You had an entire Christmas celebration and you didn't sing a song. You didn't just sing to praise the name of the Lord. Learn to sing. Learn to sing. Learn to sing about what he has done. Don't forget putology, right?
Moses sang about what God did to Pharaoh. David, in all of his songs, said, sing about his wondrous works. We saw Zephaniah. You are going to sing because he has taken away judgment from you. That's why you sing. So, we said, James also said, when you are married, you what? You sing songs. But I said, when you are not happy, income. In Acts 16, verse 23, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Amen. So it's not just when you are married too. Sometimes when you are in a fix, sing. Paul and Silas, they prayed, they sang, and the Holy Ghost came down. Amen. So sometimes it's not the best of situations, but you are not hopeless. Sometimes it's not the best of situations. You know, sometimes everything is just overwhelming and discouraging. But your back is never against the wall. I've told you, the story of the Bible is God's intervention. The Bible is a miraculous documentary. From Genesis, how God stepped in for man. You cannot believe the Bible and not believe that God is going to step in. So even when Paul and Silas were in prison, you know the response. You know what they are saying? Imagine being in prison and your own prison is even different because they now took you to the inner one. Even if the angel wants to rescue you, the angel have to pass through Hoodlum prison one, Hoodlum prison two. But Paul and Silas, their response is, your goodness is running out. He's running out to me. Amen. You know their response? The dark has nothing on me. Hallelujah. What's the song again? Can you remind me, eh? No. The chorus. It's an unending anthem. Sorry. It's my life's chorus. The dark has nothing on me. It's a conviction there from the word of the Lord. The dark has nothing. So even in the strongest of situations, you can still sing the dark has nothing on me. Amen. He says, and Paul, they sang praises in the prison. So James says, if you marry, sing songs. Then Luke in the book of Acts says, even if you don't marry, you can sing praises. Amen. We sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. We sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be. He wants to hear you sing. In your room, you're looking at the mirror and saying, I sing glory to your name. How about that? Oh Lord, glory to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing glory to your name. Oh Lord, oh Lord, glory to your name, glory to your name. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be. 1 Corinthians 14. And so, God wants to hear you sing. To sing, to make melodies, First Corinthians 14. Are you there? Verse 13. Wherefore let him that speaks in tongues, the word unknown is italicized. Actually, it's not there. It's not meant to be there. Let him that speaks in tongue pray that he interprets. That word pray doesn't mean that you have to now pray for interpretation. It means let him desire to interpret. That is, you must not just desire to. And don't forget that 1 Corinthians 14 is in church, right? It's not your personal devotion. It's devotion among believers. So you say, when you speak in tongues among believers, desire to interpret. That's what pray there. Let him desire that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue or in tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? Can we read verse 15 together and verse 16? Want to go, everybody? What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing, and I will sing with the understanding. So stop, stop. So it means it's possible to sing with the spirit. Actually, it's the original is, I will sing psalms by the spirit. I will sing psalms by the spirit. It's not wrong to use it as I will sing with the spirit. So that means we have songs which can be natural, but we can have the spirit influence in our songs. We can have heaven in our head. That makes sense? We can have the spirit influence in our songs. You can by song know what is going to happen tomorrow. You can by a song receive healing. You can by a song receive healing. I heard a story of someone who was lying on the hospital bed and all he heard was, you are the Lord that he led me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and heals from disease. You are the Lord, the healer. And he was healed. So that is the spirit influence in the earth. So we can have healing by songs. We can minister prophecy by songs. Are you there? So Paul says, I can sing, not just I can sing, I will sing with the Spirit. This morning I will sing with the Spirit. He says, then I will sing with understanding also. That means I won't just sing in tongues, I will also sing in English or Yoruba or Igbo or what's your dialect. I will sing with the Spirit, then I also sing in my dialect, not of the prophethood. I will sing in understanding. And that is where heaven and earth meets. That's where heaven and earth meets. Don't forget that's where we started from. Verse 16. Else when you bless with the Spirit, how shall the person that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, saying that he does not understand what you say? Verse 17. But you what? You verily give thanks well, but the other is not edified. That means when we sing by the Spirit, we give perfect praise. You want to give thanks well to God for a year, 2021, for the year to come, 2022. You want to give perfect thanks. He said, you have to do that with the Spirit. So what do we teach? We teach heaven and earth in the same place. Can we have that in our songs? Come on, can we have that in our songs, heaven and earth? Eh? So you have a melody in your heart. Then you allow the Spirit influence. So we can have the influence of heaven on earthly sounds or earthly melodies. Someone came up with, we bless you, Lord, we bless you, Lord, we bless you. Jehovah. These are songs. This one I like to sing. There is none only as the Lord. That's Exodus. There is none beside it. Neither is there any rock like other. That's Exodus. When Jesus said on that cross, my father, why have you forsaken me? He was singing. The entire Psalm 22 was a song. When Isaiah said, you know what he's going to do? He's going to do a new thing. It's a song. David has numerous songs. But you know today we have more than 150. Amen. In our lifetime we have more than 150. We have ceaseless flow of the things of the Spirit. We have heaven on our tongue. Amen. We can sing the heart of God out. We can sing perfect praises. We can give thanks well. If any merry, let him sing psalms. Let him sing psalms. Let him sing psalms. Paul says you can teach with songs. He says you can teach and admonish one another. God wants to hear you sing. To sing about his wonderful works. To sing about that person you preached to and got saved. Oh, you are the Lord that saves. Oh, you are the Lord that delivers. You are undoubtedly the undefeated one. I just have an utterance now. Melody to it. What I just said now is on top. You know, I also can now speak in tongues, interpret my tongues, and add melody to that tongues. That makes sense? Does that make sense? Because we have the Spirit of God. And so the voice of heaven is mine. Amen? The voice of heaven is mine. I have all trance of the God kind. I can sing by the Spirit. I can bless by the Spirit. And I told you, one of the things you must learn in the coming year, as we wrap up last Sunday of the year, I said, you must now learn to sing too. Right? Told you during the retreat. Learn to laugh. And learn to sing. Sometimes it looks stupid. But you know, when God told them, just march around Jericho. Don't carry hammers. Don't carry tractors. Don't touch the wall. Just walk around it. They said, should we walk around with force? He said, just walk. Sometimes they look stupid. But that's how we win. Amen. Sometimes just laugh. The situation is getting tight. Because the truth is, every year, like I told you during the retreat, every year comes with its own issues. It's normal for mankind. As long as we're in the air. But what you must do is to be prepared. In laughter. The only one making you laugh. I'm wondering. So there's no comment. You know, some things happen and then you think everything is in a fix. But because I know God, imagine the laughter Moses laughed at the Red Sea. Pharaoh said, now they beat the sea. Let me see what you can do. You don't know about it. He passed the sea. You are who? Yeah. He's at the brink. That's the last thing he can do. He's at the sea. Where is the sea? We see this bottle water. No, imagine what was going on in Pharaoh's head. See now. Yeah, the sea. Let me see if you not turn back. Then to where? To Egypt. Then they passed the sea. They went to the other side. Then let me see how they will get food. Food. God fed them for 40 years. Are you kidding? There's no hopeless situation. Forget about it. You what? Let me tell you about the Spirit. It's a year ahead. It's a year of progress. It's a year of strength. It's a year of focus. It's a year of laughter. I know you have been preaching. You have been preaching that place on that campus, and it looks like, you know, it looks like I was up there.
Why not? Why you are too serious? Why not? And as you laugh, hear what God has to say. Sometimes you just have to see what He wants to do. You are not God, so you wait for Him to do His own. Sometimes just think. You know what I said? He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He's alive and He leads us out. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He's alive. Sing that song. Sing it alive. He's alive and He lives inside of me. He calls me and makes me His own. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He's alive and He lives inside of me. 2022, He makes a way, come on. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He's alive and He's inside of me.
We are in the miraculous. What singing can do, that's open up something now. So to be singing now, I've gone to prophecy. We're in the miraculous. You know, we're in the miraculous. Yeah. I was just thinking what was going on in those prophet of Baal's mind when Elijah said, pour water. He said, they poured 1 gallon. He said, pour more. He said, it's fire you want to call on this thing. No. He said, pour water. When they saw the fire, what was going on in their heads? He said, this God must be crazy. The devil must have thought, yeah, the woman shall bear his child. He said, hey. Let me see who will give her belly. God said, what I say? It's going to be miraculous. That's the thing. Always expect miracles. Let me say this. This is going to be very important in the coming year. For every time you are sick, expect healing. Don't expect any other thing. It sounds basic, but I just said now. For every time you are sick in the body, remember I said this. Expect healing. Don't think something is failing in your body. I pray for you that every time you will be sick, you will receive healing. Your body will not fail. Every organ will work fine. Everyone that is failing right now, they receive healing right now in Jesus. Your lungs are working fine. Your liver is working fine. Your kidney is working fine. Your heart is working fine. Circulatory system is fine. Every headache is gone. Every incessant headache. Every abdominal pain on the right side that is always constant. Every dysfunctional menstrual cycle. In the name of Jesus. You are healed right now in Jesus' name. Every fear that has compassed your mind. That is your daily thought. Or every time something good happens, you just expect that. Will you not just turn sour? Will you not just turn bad very soon? Every fear of the unknown, in the name of Jesus, is wiped out. Every fear of
can I be constant? Can I be strong in ministry? Can I actually do it? You know, you think about yourself and say, I think I'm just maybe different from this every other person. The way they are seeing is not the way I'm seeing. I pray for your hands that they are strengthened. I pray for your leg that they are steadied. That you are unmovable and steadfast in the work of the Lord. You will not give up. You will not turn back like Lot's wife. You will not give complaints. You will not find it easy to give excuses. You are strong. You are strong. You are strong in the strength of God. God's grace is multiplied upon your life. His hand is mighty on you. And let me just tell you too. Your bills will be paid. Your needs will be met. What will characterize your health will be sound. For those who have worry, a worry or two, have jobs and works in the natural, and shelter and feeding, I am praying this morning. And I stand in the office of a prophet of God. And I say, in the next 2 weeks, in fact, precisely in the next 12 days, you will receive opportunities that you never expected. Yeah. And those who have someone at home who they are spending all the money on because of sickness. God will change that narrative and there will be healing in the name of Jesus. It's a great year ahead for us. Go ahead and sing in other tongues and bless his name this morning.